course, then. The first thing I'm interested in is the mood when things really started to go. What were the first signs on the floor that there was trouble?
Well, October 29th is the 50th anniversary of perhaps the worst day in the stock market. But that was preceded by the weakening in the market about a week ahead of time. A Thursday before, I think the 24th or something, if I remember the days right, we had a very bad day. And we thought that would probably, that would settle after that for a bit. And then on Tuesday, the market broke violently. It was a tumultuous break, and it was a panic type of break. People just threw stocks overboard, and the market literally crashed down about 8 or 9% in one day, which is a big decline. But it had all been building up for a long time. There were warning signals out as early as January and February that the market might be in trouble, but it was ignored. And the causes were pretty well known. Interest rates were extremely high. There was an overindulgence of speculation. Margins were very low. You could buy stocks at 10% margin. In other words, you could buy $10,000 worth of stock by putting down $1,000. So that a lot of people got overextended. They were operating on very thin margins, and they were and if the market would break almost 10 points in a day, they'd be wiped out unless they could come up with money. And most of those people in margins panicked, and they just threw their stocks overboard, and there weren't the buyers around. The result is the prices collapsed, and it was a result of a number of things. It was easy credit to buy stocks with, although the costs of borrowing got very high. They got as high as 20%, which was historically high. And the market was rising very steeply, and it looked like the business climate was starting to deteriorate. And Hoover was president, and he was very concerned with the over-speculation in the market, and he was anxious to do something about it. But the bankers and the people in high positions in the economic structure of the country felt everything was all right, and that the market required a little correction, and they didn't think it would go too deep. But once started, of course, it resulted in the deepest depression we've ever had. It ran for about 10 years, but in that particular phase of the decline, the averages, Dow Jones, which is the component we use for measuring the market, it sold at a high in September of 381 on the Dow, and after the break, it settled for a while, had a rally in 1930, and then it started to decline again, and the whole decline didn't culminate until in the spring of 1932, when the average is still down to 41, so that the market value shares were down about 90%, almost 90%. And of course, there was a very deep depression. Those were some of the causes. There was rampant speculation. There was pool operations, which now are illegal. I mean, manipulative practices were indulged in, which no longer are permitted. And because of the shock to the nation, remedial steps were taken to, so that it probably wouldn't happen again, such as the Federal Deposit Insurance was one step taken. The Securities and Exchange Commission was another step taken, where the Federal Reserve Bank, and they control the activities of the investment houses, brokerage houses, and the stock markets. And the Federal Reserve Bank, of the United States, control the margins, which are now 50%. And in the 60s, for a while, there was no margin permitted at all. So that cushioned the, would cushion any violent breaks today. In addition to that, now we have big institutional interest in the market, which we didn't have at that time. I mean, the insurance companies, the pension funds, the mutual funds, and the trust companies are all big buyers of stocks. And that was not true at that time. Mm-hmm. The public's primarily responsible for the market. So those safeguards are now built in, and I doubt very much we'll ever have a recurrence of that type of thing. But during the time, it was an extremely hectic period, and people sort of lost their head in some cases, and some of them literally did. They couldn't take it, and we had some most unfortunate things, like people just couldn't take it and decided to terminate themselves.
What happened? What would be a case? Can you remember a specific case?
No, but we knew about it in the paper. It happened in New York, and it happened in occasional. A person just despaired. He lost his fortune and would go out the window or something like that. It didn't happen very, very often, but it did happen. And people despaired, and just to see what they... it was an overindulgence in the market, don't you see?
Mm-hmm.
And it resulted in a panic. And once it was so severe that once started, it didn't terminate, as I said, for about 3 years. And the depression didn't culminate, really, for about 10 years.
I'm trying to get a feel for what the panic was like right here in Chicago. What kind of a mood was there?
Well, the mood was one of great excitement and concern. But it in some respects, it's a little bit over-dramatized. The brokerage houses were crammed with people, and they sold with abandon, giving total disregard for the values that they were selling. And the markets were late, the tape was late, they didn't know what the prices were. The tape was running 3 and 4 hours late, so you just had to guess what the price was. But people urgently wanted to sell, so they just put the stocks in to sell at the market. They weren't tearing their hair and all that type of thing, but some people just couldn't take a shock, don't you know?
What was the talk at the time? The younger stockbrokers like yourself who were watching what was going on, what were you talking about? What were you imagining was going on?
Well, we were hoping that the market would stabilize and that the storm would blow over. It did temporarily. After the break in 29, the market rallied about 100 points in 1930, and then it started the slow decline that culminated in 1932. And we were always hoping that the bottom would be reached, because young people are optimistic anyway, but it didn't culminate until much later, and we were in a real serious depression. But that, again, I want to say, I doubt very much where that could happen because of the safeguards we built to prevent it, you see.
For those of you who were relatively new to the profession, you had chosen some kind of a career there, and it looked
pretty bad. Lots of young men left the business, but those that stuck it through had come out pretty well.
And I can see you have done all that.
You see, and they did, and it was a great experience, and they became more conservative and cautious, and it was a very good lesson and blessing in disguise for young people starting in our business.
In what way?
Well, they of the risk. Don't take undue risks, unnecessary risks, or excessive risks. Mm-hmm. Approach it as a business, investment as a business, not a speculation, as an investment. approach the market from an investment standpoint rather than a speculative standpoint.
Were you worried? Did you talk with your friends in the same position and discuss the merits of the job you'd chosen? What did you think about your future in the business then?
I never doubted it. It fascinated me, and I never doubted it.
What about those who did leave? What you must have known some who decided they
couldn't. Oh, they went off into all kinds of other businesses. They despaired, went out, and but this is a strange business. Once you get it in your blood, you're unhappy in anything else. And a lot of those men who left kind of came back into the business later on.
I still would like to know a little more about what it might have been like that Tuesday.
Well, it's very hard to say. There was great excitement and people calling, and people waiting on the phone for you. The operator cut in and say, there's 10 calls waiting for you urgently, and you just could do so much. And people were, LaSalle Street was quite crowded with people watching to see what was going on, seeing their fortunes seriously impaired. And there was great distress, but I just can't over-dramatize it. I mean, it was the beginning of a broad, deep depression, and it was darn serious.
It must have been an emotional time when people really realized, like you said, they couldn't even keep up. What kind of things were going on right there on the floor?
You came home exhausted, obviously, and all that business. And the brokers were having difficulty matching up the orders and handling the business that came in. The clerks were working night and day, Saturdays and Sundays. Worked at night, almost all night, to keep up. They finally closed the exchange for a couple of days to let them catch up. You see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with all of that, I don't know if what you're looking for or not.
Well,
you're looking for something very mysterious here.
Oh, well, I can maybe... They know what downtown is like today, and I would like them from your memory to be able to imagine what it was like then, as much as you can paint the picture for me.
Well, I can't hardly add anything to what I said. It was another day. It was a disastrous day, but we lived with it. We went home... exhausted and hoping that the next day would be better. People would call you at home and all excited and wanted to sell all their stocks, and you didn't know the answers. You tried to use your best judgment, but I can't oversimplify it, and still I can't embellish it too much. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Let's take a case of someone who really had put a lot of money into the market and saw it going, and one of these people who were calling you urgently. What were they thinking about? Can you remember some of the conversations?
Well, they saved some of what they had. The market was collapsing all around them, and those who had stocks on margin, they had to sell. They had to sell ahead of the decline or with it to preserve what they had in there. And the people that had good stocks and owned them outright, of course, for them it was a matter of either selling to get into more cash position or riding out the storm. Because there's two ways to own stock. One is to have it collateralized and owe money against it, and the other is to own it outright and locked up in your box. And they can't take it away from you then. You see? So... that's just about it.
Do you think the drama of it and the desperation was worse in New York than it was here?
No, I think the motivation's the same. I think people are moved by the same impulses. A man's reactions, I think, are almost identical. I've been back and forth in New York a great deal in my lifetime when I was active chairman here, and they're the same people as are in Chicago, as far as I'm concerned. They think the same, and I don't see any difference. I've met an awful lot of them.
We have heard the stories about people who really lost a lot on the market and who were, you said, you know, there were some...
Well, I read in the paper this morning that Durant lost $40 million in that break. He was one of the men that started General Motors. It's in the Wall Street Journal this morning. So that's quite a bit. One of the big bankers in New York, Mr. Mitchell, was chairman of the Citibank. It's commonly known that he lost a fortune. And there are no doubt people here that lost fortunes. If they had sold stocks a little earlier and kept what they could and could re-enter the market when it was down as low as it was, they could, many of them, recouped their lost fortunes where they had something to work with, don't you know? Mm-hmm. Where they'd saved a residual amount of money.
But you think it is over-dramatizing the stories of people who had to commit suicide, who had lost that much money,
yes.
They couldn't make it?
That happened here, too. I can remember that happened here in several cases. But they weren't just... That was unusual. It happened in New York, too.
What I guess I still don't see is what was it that would drive these people to that? I mean, a lot of people pulled right through. You did, a lot of other people did.
Well,
what happened to these others?
But these people who had their, many of them had their life savings in there and saw their fortune shattered, you know, that would be a traumatic experience. Especially those people on margin, which... And like any bad storm, it blows over and you start over again. The young fellow wasn't too bad because he didn't have much to lose in the first place, which I didn't have much to lose. I had something to lose, but and I lost it, but I recovered, carried on. But I just don't know what more to say about it. I don't know if there's enough in there for you to talk about it or not.
I guess I still, you know, I have read these other accounts over, you know, this year and other years of just a somewhat darker mood than you seem to have painted for me.
I think it's overdone. Somewhat.
You think it is? Wasn't really, the people were a lot, were thinking through a lot more clearly maybe than these other accounts might imply? Or I mean, there's some of the stories of people right on Wall Street, you know, committing suicide and losing all they had right there. I mean, you don't paint such an emotional picture.
That happened here. That happened here to a certain extent. It happened here.
Wait, how did that fit in with what you've already told me? What, were these people on the floor, or were they...
They weren't people on the floor of the exchange. They were speculators. A few large speculators who were overcommitted, too heavily committed in a risk position, and they lost their assets and they couldn't take it, and a few of them just did away with themselves. Otherwise, people just worried about it and sweated it out, don't you know?
What was the talk on the floor? You must have been wondering what was going
next. Well, it's pandemonium there. Everybody's yelling around, trying to fill orders and get reports back, and they're screaming around, and it was a hectic day, and if you've ever been on the exchange on a day like that, it's frantic. But they seem to they try to reduce chaos to confusion and seem to get away with it.
Was that 24 hours that day? How late did the exchange
No, the market was open. The market was open from here from 9 to 2, 10 to 3 in New York. And the tape was about 4 hours late at the close that day. You didn't know till after six what you sold the stock for, really, in many cases.
So did everyone just wait when the market closed here at two for 4 hours?
Well,
you had to just sit and wait?
The brokers all stood there, and then if they report to their customers on the phone.
What was it like when the tape did come over, when it was final?
Well, it just the tape just came. It was after the market closed and there was no more trading, then it's just a matter of the tape running out, you see. And that lasted about 4 hours. And then the brokers were busy straightening out their trades and orders for the day and keeping in touch with their customers. And the customers drifted home. And they were advised later by phone what the situation was.
So when it came over, was it much worse than you had thought it would be? Or
the prices were way down. So...
What was the reaction when it came over?
The reaction was very, very good by some people. I had one count that sold 2,000 shares of stock of the market. And I called him back. I said, it hasn't traded for a long, long time. Do you want to cancel? He said, no, sell it. And it was down, when it traded, it was down 15 points between transactions, which is unheard of, you know. So, but he sold it, and I called him, and he said, well, I told you to sell. It's all right. I'm disappointed, but it's all right.
And what about the others who were not, couldn't take it as easily? What kind of reactions were there?
Well, there's nothing they could do about it. We were in possession of the securities and the margin accounts. They gave us orders. They honored all those. It's a peculiar thing about this business. No matter what the situation is, the customer honors his commitment. He tells you to sell, and it goes up afterwards. He brings the stock in anyway.
Was it a dramatic moment when the tape was done? Were there gasps? Were people shocked?
Well, it was a great relief. It was great relief when the market finally closed, as bad as it was. As you know, the damage couldn't be any worse that day, don't you know?
What was it like to wait for the next day? Did you think it would be worse the next day?
Well, we all speculated on what it would be like the next day. And then I think it stabilized a little the next day, I've forgotten.
What, did you think it would get worse?
It sure looked like it, the way it acted then. And subsequently, it got a lot of worse, and gradually, you know, as I explained to you. But that was kind of the culmination of that first violent break.
So when everyone came back to work the next day, was everyone a lot calmer, ready to take whatever might have happened? What was the mood the next morning as you came into work?
Well, that was on Tuesday, and the market was still very active on Wednesday, and the stock exchange decided to close Thursday noon to give the offices a chance to catch up with all their book work. So it stayed closed until Monday, you see?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the public's interested in that, but, you know.
So you had a chance to collect your thoughts and
prepare for the next day, and that's about it. That's about it.
Okay, what I really want are some just basic memories of what the mood was on Tuesday. What kind of things were going on? What was your job then?
I probably had charge of the credit department.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, we had a lot of margin accounts that were on a much smaller margin basis than they are today. So at that time, the people in my department worked all night and stayed downtown at the hotel. We were calling people on the telephone at 12 o'clock midnight, 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, said, we need so much money or we'll have to sell at the opening. Either come in with the money before 9 o'clock or sell.
That must not have been an easy job for you. What was it like to call people and give them that kind of news?
It didn't bother me. It was their account. They bought the stock, and it was on credit, and they had to take care of it.
Mm-hmm. What kind of reaction did you get? That must have been really...
No, the people understood it. They understood it very well because everything was in the newspaper about the crash and so on. So they expected these things from brokers to call them and tell them what was necessary to do.
What kind of mood was there on the floor that day? It must have been pandemonium. What was it like?
I can't answer you how it was like on the floor because I wasn't on the floor.
Uh-huh.
I can only tell you how it was in the office. And it was exciting, and people were excited, but it was done well.
The stories that we hear now, so many people talk about the despair and the people who were really devastated, who lost everything, and it seems to have been a kind of despair that we can't even compare. We can't even figure it out right now because I've never seen anything like that. What was it like for the people who were seeing everything go in one afternoon?
They all accepted it just that way. They lost everything they had, they accepted it. There was no crying and no this and no that, they accepted it. They bought securities to make money and they lost. And at that time, of course, you had the trouble with the banks, you had bank runs, so they accepted all these things. And of course, some people jumped out the window. Today they can't jump out the window because you can't open them.
How much of that desperation, suicidal type mentality was there? How prevalent was it? How many people could not handle it? Was that very common?
Most people did handle it. Most of them, they handled it very, very well. It's no different than today. If people own a home and the mortgage rates are up and they're going to lose their home, they'll lose their home. And it was no different then. People lost their whatever fortune they may have had in the stock market, they lost it. But they kept on living. It didn't. There was no great despair.
Do you have any? Can you remember any specific cases of those who really couldn't handle it? Does anything stand out in your mind? If someone, I imagine, it was mostly the speculators who had really put a lot of money in the market.
All the people that I talked to at midnight in the morning, they all accepted it. They all had taken their losses graciously.
What about those of you who made your living off the stock market without really putting all your money in it? What was the talk about the future of the market itself? Were you worried about your career?
Well, we all thought that was the end of the stock business. We didn't think that. So it was very poor business for a while. You had to wait for a new crop of clients to come along. But at that time, we thought that we were through in the securities business.
What kind of talk was there in your office? I mean, you were young, you'd started a new career. How did you feel about that?
Well, in those days, we had a rather small office, and we had rather large clients. So we didn't have the panic that you might think there was. We didn't have any panic. A lot of people lost a lot of money, and there's not one account in our office that ended owing us any money. There was not one deficit account.
What was it like in general on LaSalle Street? Can you paint a picture of what it might have been like in the afternoon? I know the tape was about 4 hours behind, and there must have been some kind of... I can't imagine what it might have been like in the street.
The lights at all the brokerage offices were on all night. The streets were this as though it was daytime, because everybody stayed down and had to work, whether it was the salesman or whether it was the cashiers or whether it was the credit department, everybody stayed down and worked. So you think it was noon, it was midnight.
What kind, were there people in the street talking? People, were there restaurants that were hangouts on the street, or what was the...
Well, we didn't have any time for that. We just worked and had food brought into us, and it was all work.
Everybody was there 24 hours that day,
that
working
is
constantly.
That is right.
What kind of atmosphere was there in the office? That must be the busiest day you'd ever had. What did everyone think?
The atmosphere in the office was fine. Everybody was too busy to think of anything else. It was just work, getting money in, and selling people out.
Those who had really speculated and put a lot of money in the market got some bad news. It must have been several people, maybe they weren't your clients, who couldn't take the news so easily. Do you remember having to break the news to anyone and really having a hard time? Was everyone that calm?
Of all the people I've talked to, there was many of them. None of them cried about it. They had taken the medicine just the way it was.
In the next day, you came back to work the next day. What was it like? Did everyone expect it to get worse again? Did expect the market to keep going?
We expected the market to do a little better, and it didn't. But a lot of people were already out of the market. And some new people came in thinking the prices were low enough and did some buying. So it was a continual turnover of buying and selling.
After it seems to me like it might have been almost worse after the news had come out and the final figures were out for that Tuesday and you knew how bad it really was. It seems then the talk might have started. Then people might have started to really sit around and speculate among themselves, what next? Were you is that what happened, or what happened once you knew how bad it had been? You were busy for the full day and hadn't paid.
I was now thinking it's time to buy. The market is low enough. Because you must remember, the American public are a great believer in owning securities. And so some people who were not on margin, who had some funds, were thinking now's the time to come into the market.
So there were enough people left who hadn't lost everything, and what little they had they were going to put back in?
Well, I'm talking about people who were not on margin, had all their securities paid for, and had some cash available, that thinking now's the time to buy stocks.
What happened to the smaller buyers at that time? Maybe the families who had saved up a lot of money, put it into the market, and were then losing. What did they do at that time?
Repeat what you said.
I guess your office dealt mostly with larger clients who
right.
put a lot
so
of
I
money
can't
in.
Answer that small question.
You really? I mean, you didn't working down there. You didn't even see
no,
any of this.
No, we had large clients. So the people who bought less than 100 shares, 50 shares, 25 shares, they paid cash for it. They did not carry it on margin. As far as Shearson Hamel was concerned, mm-hmm. they paid cash for it.
So of your larger clients, did most of them survive then, or?
Some did and some did not. When you say survive, they would close the account out and stop trading for, well, it's a year or 2 years. But they all came back.
What was your feeling sitting in the office handling the paperwork? You didn't have very much at stake yourself, really. I'm sure you didn't have a lot of money in the market yourself. What was your feeling handling these big clients and seeing, I've had some of the others tell me that to see big names losing millions of dollars, what did it seem like to you? Did you have any reflection? What would you go home and tell your family you saw that?
When I leave the office, I forget the office. And if a man lost money, it was his responsibility, not mine.
It didn't shake you to see all that money passing hands and dropping out?
I felt sorry, but it didn't disturb me. Any more than the doctor, he loses a patient. He doesn't go out of business.
Well, this was on such a large scale. It really didn't affect you that way, huh?
No. As I repeat, a doctor loses patients, they don't all survive. He doesn't quit practice. And this is no different. People accumulated wealth, they lost part of their wealth. And the people will accumulate it again. Those, you can take all the money in the world and put it in one hat. The same people that have it today will have it again.
Now, in the papers that we've read on the anniversary, these come out every year. There have been reports, I imagine it was even worse in New York than it was here, people really, really getting desperate who had lost, not as much the clients that you've been talking about, but the smaller clients who had really put their fortunes on the line and were really desperate. What kind of a mood was there, whether you saw a lot of that suicidal type mentality yourself or not? What did that do to the mood of the business?
Well, it hurt the mood of the business. As I said before, that we thought our business was now through. It was the end of the securities business. There'd be no more clients left. They've all lost their money. And this is the mood that was in. Everybody was worried about who's going to keep their job, who's going to stay in business. And that was it.
Okay.
It's a hell of an...